Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless us this day as we meditate on your word. Speak it into our hearts and minds and lives for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The year was 1970, the band was the Beatles, the song was Let It Be. I wasn't born yet, but many of you were. You're most likely familiar with the song and the lyrics, but for those who aren't, I'll just read through them. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see, there will be an answer, let it be. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me, shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Now, when asked about the inspiration behind this song, Paul McCartney told a group of reporters about a dream that he had had, a dream in which his deceased mother, Mary, came to him during a particularly difficult time in his career and said to him, Paul, it'll be all right, just let it be, let it be. Now, despite that explanation, many people believe the song has religious connotations, and that is very understandable given its similarity to Mary's words in today's Bible reading. The angel comes to her and tells her she will give birth to a son, she is to name him Jesus, and Mary's response eventually is, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be. Now, I'm not about to question the fact that Paul McCartney would know the inspiration behind his own song, but it is quite a coincidence, don't you think? Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord. She has often been the object of discussion and even controversy in the history of the church. You would know that Mary is deeply revered, that she is prayed to by Roman Catholics in particular. She's depicted in many images and icons, especially if you go into Orthodox churches, you'll see lots of Mary. And yet Mary tends to get very little airplay among Lutherans and Protestant churches. The Lutheran reformers did seek to pave something of a middle path between these two extreme approaches to Mary. This is what they said. Although she is worthy of the highest honours, Mary does not want to be put on the same level as Christ, but rather to have her example considered and followed. To have her example considered and followed. I think this is the most helpful approach to Mary. They called her the Blessed Virgin. They called her the Mother of God. They used the highest terms to talk about Mary, the reformers. But in the end, they said it is her example for us to follow that is most helpful to us. Mary is a model servant of Christ, an example, someone in whose footsteps we can follow. So today I just want us to reflect a little bit about Mary and her role in bringing to this earth our Saviour. So Mary's child, Mary's struggle, and Mary's faith are our 3 points for today. Our text opens by telling us that it was the sixth month, and that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and the angel Gabriel is sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. The angel was sent to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. In these early verses, Luke gives us many, many little indicators, little pointers to get us ready for what is about to happen, the significance of the birth of this child. And much of what Luke tells us indicates that God's Old Testament prophecy of the coming Messiah was about to be realized. He would be called a Nazarene. He would be from the house of David. He would be born to a virgin mother. All these little indicators would have brought to mind for people the many, many Old Testament prophecies leading up to this moment. So Luke is getting us ready. He's getting our minds ready, getting our hearts ready, saying something important is on the horizon. And as the text continues, we just get more and more of it. More and more of these phrases, more and more of these terms just heaped up one on top of the other. I'm not sure if you heard them coming through in the text, but there was just lots of them the whole way through. You will bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be called Son of the Most High. He will sit on the throne of his ancestor David. He will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. He will be called the Son of God. One after the other, designations of who this child would be. Luke wants us to know, yes, this is Mary's child, but this is also God's Son. Truly human, truly divine. Everything we are and everything we are not. That's who this child would be. It's like Luke is saying to us, get ready. Get ready, Mary, but not just Mary, get ready, world, for what is going to be a world-changing, earth-shattering moment in history. This child is someone very, very special. Now, every child is special, aren't they? Every conception is important. Every birth is a miracle. But Luke is saying this child, this conception, this birth is unlike any other. Very, very significant. So that's Mary's child. What's Mary's struggle? Because when Mary receives word that all this is going to happen, she is very naturally perplexed, it says. She ponders, what kind of greeting is this? What is going on here? The angel tells Mary that she is favored by God, that she is the recipient of his grace. But Mary is confused. She's humbled, but she's confused. She doesn't know how to take this. What, why, how is all this happening? Now, we've said that Mary is a model servant. So maybe this isn't the reaction we would expect from her. This confusion, this questioning, this uncertainty. Maybe we would expect Mary just to say, yes, no problems. But that's not what she says at all. What we see is that Mary is such a good example for us because she is so real to us and she is so much like us. When something like this comes to her, her first reaction is confusion, uncertainty, not being sure what to make of it all. The good news is that God does not withhold his grace from Mary simply because of her uncertainty. And nor does God withhold his grace from us in our times of doubt or uncertainty. The angel says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Do not be afraid, Mary. God knows what you're thinking, Mary. God knows what you're feeling. God knows what you're experiencing. He sees what you do. He knows who you are. He understands what you struggle with. And he still loves you. And he still cares about you. And he still calls you into his service. Do not be afraid, Mary. Perhaps it's those words that give Mary the courage to pluck up and ask her question. And the question is this: how can this be since I am a virgin? A fairly understandable question, one would think. How can this be? How will this happen? Again, there are gaps in Mary's understanding, her grasp of it all. She just doesn't get it. Can we blame her? We may sometimes feel the pressure as Christian people to have our whole faith and our thinking and our worldview wrapped up in a really tight package. Right, so there's no holes and there's no gaps and people can't question us and they can't challenge us and it all makes perfect sense to us and we can explain everything. Is that real? Is that what Christians are really like? Is that what life is really like? I'm not so sure. I wonder if that's what any atheist or any agnostic is really like either. Life has gaps, it has holes, it has struggles, it has difficulties, and Mary shows us that from the very beginning. Life is not a tight package. It has rips, it has tears, it has loose ends. It's more like the Christmas presents I wrap than the ones my wife wraps. Those are very neat. Mine, not so neat. All right? But this is life. This is what life is like. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. There is great wisdom, I think, in learning to live with certain struggles we have as Christian people. And you know that you have different ones to the person sitting next to you and the person sitting next to them. Different questions, different things you grapple with, different things you don't quite understand or don't quite know how to make sense of. And today I hear Mary saying to us, let it be. It's okay to have those grapples, to have those struggles in your faith. This is very real. This is who we are as Christian people. As we come to Mary's child and God's son, we are swept up in a wonderful mystery. And we stand there with Mary and we say, how can this be? How can this be? Only by the grace and power and mercy of God. You know, God doesn't ask for us to have perfect understanding and complete comprehension and utter knowledge of everything he's doing and everything he's saying. But he asks for faith, for trust, for a willingness to receive what he's doing into our lives. So, our final point for this morning is Mary's faith. Sometimes we do receive answers to our questions. Sometimes we do receive answers. And sometimes those answers come from the most unexpected places. Like Mary's, from the angel Gabriel, who was told the Holy Spirit would be the means by which this child was conceived. Because with God, nothing is impossible. That's the clincher, isn't it? With God, nothing will be impossible. Of course, humanly speaking, this is impossible, right? Of course, to our human minds, this doesn't make sense, and we have a lot of questions about it. But the angel says, with God, nothing is impossible. We need to hear this again and again and again in our own lives. And the situations we think are too great, are too insurmountable for us, are too much for us. With God, nothing is impossible. That sin you think is too great to be forgiven, that anger you think is too much to be resolved, that conflict in your family you think is too big and there will never be peace there, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. That lunch you're trying to prepare for 200 people tomorrow, with God, nothing is impossible, right? The work of God in Mary's life was nothing short of miraculous. Of course it was miraculous. This child called Jesus, this child who would save his people from their sins, this child who was destined to die so that you and I might live. Mary's final response to the angel is a beautiful, model, incredible statement of faith. She simply says this, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Let it be. Despite her confusion, despite her fears, despite her questions, despite her struggles, Mary simply puts herself in God's hands and trusts his will and his word in her life, that his son would be safe with her, and that her future would be safe with him, as is ours. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we look to Mary, we see her as a wonderful model, an example of Christian faith for us. Help us to follow in her footsteps and that when we experience times of uncertainty or confusion or questioning, that we know that we can put ourselves into your care and simply let it be. Let it be to us according to your will and your word. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.